Well, today is Palm Sunday, and I've often spoken about the story of going into Jerusalem, but I realized that never ever in all of my preaching, and I've been preaching for a long, long time, actually spoken about the palm of Palm Sunday. Why do we call it Palm Sunday? Well, in only one of the four accounts of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem is the plant, the palm, mentioned. It's mentioned in John's account, John chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. It says, on the next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to heaven. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Why did they use palms that day? Well, I did a little bit of research through the scriptures to discover what actually, why they used palms to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem today. And I noticed a number of things. Four of them I want to talk about today. First of all, the palm is always a symbol of refreshing. When Israel, the first time we come across the word palm in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 15. Straight after the Jews had left Egypt, remember God had liberated them in a wonderful way. They'd gone across the Red Sea, and when they landed on the other side of the Red Sea, God caused the sea to close and drowned the Egyptian army. And then they went into the desert. And it says they traveled for 3 days. Well, they brought some water with them for the first 3 days because they knew somewhere along the line they would find water. Except after 3 days, they didn't find water. But they came to a place called Marah. And we read this. Moses cried out to the Lord. The water at Marah was bitter. It says, Moses cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them. And he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and you do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. So friends, God promises that he will touch them, that he will be with them. And then the next verse is the first time we come across the word palm. It says this, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and camped there near the water. What a wonderful picture of salvation this is, friends. God had saved them as they went through the Red Sea. Now they get to the point where they've been tested. Roderick's been telling us this morning about the devil who tests us. And friends, they were failing in their first test. They were moaning about the fact that, you know, God had brought them out of Egypt. Now they were thirsty. And they were saying, we're going to die. But friend, God says, you're not going to die because I am going to refresh you. I'm going to give you water to refresh you. Of course, friends, the wonderful thing is Jesus made the same promise. Jesus says, in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38, On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and in a loud voice said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living waters will flow through him or from within him." Friends, the palm is the symbol of refreshing, because wherever the palm grew in the desert, there was life-giving water. So as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, they're putting the palms down there to point to him as the one who is the refreshing source of water, which takes us in to the future. When Jesus says, as the scripture says, he's taking us back to a passage in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 says this, "Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." Friends, the palm is a symbol of refreshing. So this morning, as we come to praise with palms, remember this. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus, friends, is the source of water. As they lay the palms before Jesus, they remembered that he alone is the one who can refresh them and give them satisfaction. Secondly, the palm is a symbol of hope. The second reference to the palm is found in Leviticus 23. It says this, "So beginning on the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the field, celebrate the festival of the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of rest, and the eighth day also a day of rest. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the trees and palm fronds, leafy branches and poplars, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance from generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month." This passage in Leviticus is talking about the time in the Jewish calendar we often call the Festival of the Tabernacle or the Festival of Booths. Now, a booth is just a little house. So what God was telling them to do was take palm leaves like this and build a structure and cover them with palm leaves so that you're protected from the sun. So that's the festival of booths. They made houses, temporary houses, to remember, friends, that when they were in Egypt, before they were leaving, God said, "This place is just a temporary place. I'm taking you to the promised land, friends. I'm taking you into a land flowing with milk and honey." And the point that the festival makes, friends, is that there is hope. We hope that God is going to provide. And at this point in time, Surely God had provided for them. At the same festival, one day Jesus attended the festival of booths in Jerusalem. This is what he said in John chapter 7. Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him and he sent me." At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his time had not yet come. Yet many put their faith and trust in the crowd, put their faith in him. They said, "When Christ has, if the Christ come, will he do greater miracles than Jesus?" Friends, they saw in Jesus the hope for the future. They saw in Jesus the fulfillment of the booths, this festival of the booths. They were reminded that, friends, as we go through this earth is not our ultimate destination. We have an ultimate destination, which is heaven itself. We have a place that we are going to. The Bible often talks about when Jesus came to earth, he tabernacled amongst us. He made a tent amongst us. And that's what the palm reminds us of. That we're just in a temporary place, friends. The palm reminds us of the hope we have in Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who tells us he's going to take us into the future with him. That's why he says in this passage, "I've come from him who sent me." And later on he says, "I'm going back to him. But one day," Jesus says, "I'm coming back to fetch you so that you may be where I am also." So friend, as you think of a palm today, as we praise with palms, remember, friends, only Jesus can fulfill hope. Only Jesus can fully satisfy, but only Jesus can fulfill hope. The third occurrence of the palm is found in 1 Kings chapter 16, chapter 6. And in this section, we are reminded that the palm reminds us of the presence of God. How does the palm remind us of the presence of God? Well, in 1 Kings chapter 6, we are told about the building of the temple, the first temple that was built by Solomon. You remember that story in 1 Kings chapter 6. So when they were building the temple, what did they do? Well, listen to some of the passages. 1 Kings chapter 6. On the walls around the temple, in both the inner and the outer rooms, he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. He also covered the floors of both the inner and the outer room of the temple with gold. For the entrance of the inner sanctuary was made, he made doors of olive wood and five-sided jambs. And on the two olive wood trees, he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid the palm, the cherubim and the palm trees with beaten gold. In the same way, he made four-sided jambs of olive wood for the entrance of the main hall. He also made two pine doors, having each two leaves that turned in sockets. He carved cherubim, palm leaf trees, and open flowers on them, and overlaid them with gold, hammered evenly into the carvings. And in 2 Chronicles, which also tells us about the decoration of the temple. It says, he paneled the main hall with pine and covered it with fine gold and decorated it with palm trees and chain designs. Friends, the symbol of the presence of God is pictured with palm trees. But you know, the wonderful thing is that not only the temple that's built in heaven, built on earth, is reminding us of palm trees. The temple in heaven, friends, also reminds us that it's decorated with palms. We read about that in Ezekiel. In a vision that Ezekiel had of the future, of the new heaven, Ezekiel writes this: in the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year of the fall of the city, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me on very high mountains, on whose south side were some buildings that looked like a city. He took me there, and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze, standing in the gateway, and a linen cord and a measuring rod in the hand. The man said to me, "Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you, for that is why you've been brought here. Tell the house of Israel everything you see." And I saw a wall completely surrounding the temple area. But then a little bit further on in verse 16, it says this: the faces of the walls were decorated with palm trees. Chapter 40, verse 22. Its opening, its portico, and its palm tree decorations. Chapter 40 and verse 26. Seven steps led up to it, with its portico opposite. It had palm tree decorations on the faces of the projecting wall of each side. Its portico faced the outer court. Palm trees decorated its jambs, and eight steps left to it. And there are many other references in Ezekiel chapter 40. Verse 34, verse 37, chapter 41, verse 18, 19, 20, 25, and verse 26, friends. In the same way that Solomon decorated the first temple with palm trees, friends, the vision Ezekiel has of the future heaven is one decorated with palm trees. You see, that's why when Jesus entered into Jerusalem that day, they put palm trees in front of them, and they were reminded, friends, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Because, friends, in Jesus, they recognized the presence of God. That's what the palm reminds us of. The palm reminds us of, friends, the presence of God. You remember when Jesus entered into Jerusalem and the people were singing praises to him, Hosanna, the chief priests amongst them were very indignant. And they say to Jesus, "Don't you think you should," let me read it for you. "When he came near to the place where the road crosses to the road of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus tells them, 'If they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out that I am God.'" Friends, as we see a palm, we remember the presence of God. As the temple represented the presence of God, as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the people saw not a man, but they saw the presence of God coming in to Jerusalem that day. So friends, as we praise with palms, remember only Jesus is worthy of our worship. But one final thought. The psalm, the palms don't only remind us of the refreshing that Jesus gives. The palms don't only remind us of the hope that we have in Jesus. The palms don't only remind us of the presence of Jesus. Friends, the palms are a symbol of victory. Everywhere in the old world, everywhere in the time when Jesus lived, when a victorious military victor entered into the town, they would put down palms because it was a symbol of victory. And friends, this is true also of what God has done for us. How do we know that? Well, you remember when Israel went into the promised land? What was the first town that they attacked? Can you remember? Somebody? They blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. Jericho! Yes. You should know that story, don't you? Do you know what the nickname of Jericho is? The city of Jericho's nickname is the City of Palms. I've been to Jericho. There are many, many palms in Jericho. And friends, that is what we're reminded of. Listen to Deuteronomy. Moses climbed the mountain from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, to the land of Judah, as far as the western side, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zion. Friends, the very first defeat that God does for the nation of Israel, the very first thing that God does as he takes the nation of Israel into the promised land, friends, is he reminds them of victory because they defeat the city of palms. Palms represent the victory of God, friends, on behalf of Israel. And as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, he is reminding them, in anticipation of the victory that would happen a week later. That's what Jesus is doing. He still had to go to the cross. He still had to go through the tomb. But friends, on the Sunday, when they went to look for him in the tomb, there was victory because he had defeated the great enemy. But you know what, friends? That victory is going to be celebrated for all eternity. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 7 and verse 12, 9 to 12, it says this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that nobody could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And what were they doing? They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Friends, the symbol of ultimate victory is the white we sang about a little bit earlier on, the symbol of purity, and the palm of victory, because Jesus, friends, has conquered sin forever. And while in heaven, this is what they say: salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the 24 living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to God forever and ever. Amen. Friends, as we come to praise with palms today, we remember to celebrate the victory of Jesus. So as we praise with palms, remember only Jesus can satisfy. As we praise with palms, only Jesus can give us hope, friends, for the future. As we praise with palms, friends, only Jesus alone is worthy of our worship. As we praise with palms, we celebrate the victory of Jesus over sin. There's one final promise that I want to remind us of. It says this in Psalm 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. How do we know we will flourish, friends? Not because we can do it in our own strength, but because of what Isaiah promises. In Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah is also looking to the future. He's looking to the day, a thing called the day of the Lord, when Jesus comes again. And in Isaiah 49 verse 8, it says, this is what the Lord says: in the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritance. Verse 16, see, God says, see, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Friend, the hand of God has been engraved. It's been engraved with a nail. Goes right through that hand. Because we can praise Him, He holds us in His hand. He's in your hand. Are you holding on to His? He's reaching out. He's saying, come. Come, you who are weary. Come to me and I'll give you rest. If you'll put your hand in mine, I will engrave your name in the palm of my hand. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, that you've engraved our names in your hands through a nail driven through them because of our sin. Thank you, Lord, that we can be called righteous, not because of anything we have done, but because of who you are, because of the victory that you have won, Lord, because that only you can satisfy, because only you can give hope, Lord, because only you are worthy of our worship. Lord, help us this Palm Day to raise our hands in worship and honor and glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray that all God's people said, Amen.